Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 183 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. So in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Danny Gordon from Flat Point Barbecue here in Los Angeles. He's actually popping up every Saturday in Santa Monica at Surf Liquor on Main Street. It's just north of Ocean Park. First off, let me say, if you are in Los Angeles or traveling to Los Angeles, you must visit Flat Point Barbecue. It's on Saturdays, open at 11. They sell out around 3 or so, but he's doing remarkable stuff. And we'll get really into his menu in the interview. And of course, we get into his background. He grew up in Los Angeles, went to culinary school in the Bay Area. He was connected to a couple classmates to open a barbecue, a Texas-style barbecue restaurant in Burlingame. That didn't pan out, but I won't explain what happened with that, but he was exposed to a lot of barbecue. So he was indoctrinated into the world of Central Texas style barbecue. So that's what Flat Point Barbecue is. He's using two fat stack smokers. He's only been open since January, but from the quality of the food that he's putting out, the quality of the sausage, everything's scratch made, and the ingredients and the way that he's combining things, you would think he'd been open for years. So let's jump into this. Thank you, Danny, for taking the time. And again, visit Flat Point Barbecue. I can't recommend them enough. And as always, this podcast and YouTube show is sponsored by Treaty Oak Distilling out of Dripping Springs, Texas. They make three amazing whiskeys, two bourbons, one rye. You could check everything out at treatyoakdistilling.com or Treaty Oak on all the social media. Also, AJ's Custom Cookers. He's a pit builder in Saginaw, Texas, doing amazing work. Available at ajscustomcookers.com. He's incredibly unique. Can make anything from the regular offset to the most unique live fire stuff. So check him out again at ajscustomcookers.com or ajscustomcookers on social media. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I do at least two of these per week. I have a YouTube show if you're just listening to the podcast at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. Tons more stuff, the actual footage of this interview, as well as butcher shops, barbecue joints, sausage making facilities, meat processing plants, lots of cool stuff. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com, which is launching a renewed version very soon. Check that out on all social media at kevinsbbqjoints. But in the end, thanks for listening. You're really going to enjoy this one. Good evening. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing well, man. How are you? I'm
doing well. Do you go by Dan or Danny?
Danny.
Danny, okay. Yeah, that's what I've called
Daniel,
you.
My grandma calls me Daniel. She's mad at me, or my mom. Okay. But always Danny.
And some people call you Dan, I'm sure. I'm sure you get that every so often.
Right? Yeah, I get occasional Dan.
What's a typical day during the week for you?
You know, it's really depends on how busy I am that weekend. Now that we have this pop-up every Saturday, my schedule kind of goes Monday and Tuesday are a little bit slower. I guess Monday would be like my day off, if you will. And then Tuesday through Thursday is really just prepping for Saturday, getting all the sides ready, checking inventory, making sure we have containers, making sure we have sauces ready. Pickles are all caught up to date, trimming meats, getting things rubbed and prepared for Friday, which is my cook day. So I'll start really early in the morning, around 4 or 5 in the morning, cook everything on Friday, hold it overnight for service on Saturday.
And also you're making pastrami too. So you have to deal with that, right?
Right. It's not a regular thing, but when I do have it, that does take up a little bit more room in my fridge. I usually brine my pastrami for 20 days, roughly, sometimes a little bit less or more, depending on how big they are. I'll generally do pastrami every 4 or 5 weeks as a special. I'll do a sandwich. I'll do pastrami beef ribs a little more frequently because they don't have to brine as long. But the actual pastrami and the pastrami sandwiches, it's like a month-ish kind of thing that I do.
So let's take a step back. Are you from LA?
Yeah, born and raised in LA. Spent some time in the Bay Area traveling. I was in the Bay Area for culinary school. I came back to LA and I worked in catering for a bit. And then two friends of mine from culinary school reached out to me one day with this concept to do Texas style barbecue and a locally sourced kind of grocery store butcher shop in the Burlingame area, which is by the San Francisco airport, smaller suburb south of the city. You know, they reached out to me and I was, you know, sounded like a great opportunity. So I moved back up to the Bay Area, moved in with one of my buddies, Marty, and my other partner at the time, Josh, who was the one who was backing the project and had the idea, is originally from Texas. So when I moved up there, I really knew nothing about Texas barbecue. The only barbecue I'd really known was Santa Maria style California barbecue, the stuff I grew up with, tri-tip, baby back ribs.
A lot of chicken.
A lot of chicken, right, yeah. Not much brisket, yeah. Not much beef, really nothing smoked. I mean, Santa Maria barbecue is fantastic. I love eating it. It's great. It was just what I was used to. I had never really seen anything, what I'm doing now. It really was a matter of just traveling and learning over that year we were trying to build the restaurant. So, you know, we spent a lot of time traveling.
Yeah, because that was like when I talked to you about that, that was really interesting. So, yeah, let's talk about where you traveled. Did you guys go straight to Texas?
I'm trying to remember what the first place was. I think it was, it might have been Richmond, Virginia.
So you went to ZZQ?
We did go to ZZQ. We went to a handful of places. Honestly, we probably, every city we went to, we tried to go to almost every barbecue joint. We did go to ZZQ. We actually went out there. My partner at the time, Marty, and I, we went up there to spend some time with Tuffy Stone. And he does his, you know, cool smoke camp and kind of competition-based barbecue classes. So we went out there to take his class, not really knowing what we were getting into.
What was that class like? I hate to interrupt you. What was that class? Because I'm so curious.
It was actually a great insight into the competition world, which is, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys who listen to your podcast, your videos, are familiar with the competition circuit. But it was really just about your day to day when you're doing these circuits, how you're preparing meats, how you're presenting things to judges. Very, very different from the type of barbecue I do now, the Texas barbecue, which is really just a simple salt and pepper rub. There's a lot more injecting, a lot more styling, if you will.
It's very specific, and the judges expect something specific.
Right, it's a much sweeter profile.
That's true.
Everything tasted fantastic. It was just a very, very different approach to smoking meats than what I'm doing today. But Tuffy, you know, all this, the knowledge we got from him aside, such a cool guy, a guy with a culinary background,
such
ton
a
of knowledge,
really,
very open to answering questions, and was actually very helpful in terms of how to prepare yourself, how to prepare your schedule when you're smoking, making sure you have everything offset so you're not wrapping everything at the same time, so you're able to plan things appropriately. I learned a lot about that from him, and that was our Richmond trip.
The Richmond trip was to go to Tuffy's thing, and then you guys went to some
right,
places. Okay, that makes sense.
That was the main purpose for the trip, but you know, while we were out there, we of course had to go try all the barbecue joints in sight.
And then you guys went to Texas as well, right?
Yeah, we did. We went to Austin, which is, you know, become and has been the mecca of barbecue, in my opinion. Especially the type of barbecue I do, which I would call Central Texas style, very simple, mostly oak, actually always oak, red or white oak out here in California, salt and pepper based rubs, sauce on the side, nothing too sweet. That's kind of the style of barbecue that I've adopted. You know, obviously we went to the big ones, went to Franklin's, Le Barbecue, Micklewaite, Curlin Barbecue, Cooper's Barbecue. I mean, we went to literally every barbecue spot in Austin, and each one of them just as good as the next, in my opinion. Fantastic. And obviously spend some time in Lockhart. When you're out there, you got to go to Lockhart.
No, it's integral. Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely just when I, you know, a specific experience I remember is walking into Smitty's Market, which is in Lockhart. For people who've been there, they know when you walk in, there's this inferno, this gigantic fire pit with these old school brick pits and this massive cutting board in the middle with all the meats laid out and a menu written on butcher paper. They don't have any utensils there. It was like an aha moment. Mm-hmm. I knew that this, you know, maybe not exactly this, it's pretty hard to recreate that, but this style, this feel, is just something that I feel like people will understand once they see it.
You can't really, even explaining it now, or if I try to explain it, you try to explain it until you go there, it doesn't really soak in, and the walls are thick with smoke of decades of smoke, and it's
right.
Wild. And like the wood's been honed from people sitting and rubbing their hands.
Right. It's basically, yeah, it's like it's a barbecue heaven. It's the smell of it, the food itself, the people who are working there. You can just, it's all about the feel, the vibe. You can't really recreate that.
Definitely.
But yeah, you know, all those spots I mentioned and some I'm probably leaving off the list were fantastic. But that was really what introduced me pretty abruptly and quickly to Central Texas style barbecue. And I knew there was only a handful of guys doing it. I guess I'm skipping a little bit in the story, but obviously that restaurant we were working on in the Bay Area never worked out. So, you know, having spent all that time traveling, you know, after Austin, we went to Georgia, we went to Boston, New York, kind of everywhere, just to see what everybody was doing, how they were approaching it. In cities,
what a dream! Like honestly,
it was an unbelievable experience, something I'm forever grateful for, and I probably wouldn't be what I'm doing doing what I'm doing today without it.
Also, I want to jump back just a little bit to culinary. What made you want to go to culinary
school? You know, I was in college and I was just kind of felt like there wasn't a fit for me there. You know, I didn't see myself really sitting at a desk or doing something that a major would, that I didn't really see myself fitting into a major. And I, you know, I grew up working in my grandpa's restaurant. I grew up cooking, loving cooking. I just never really considered it as a career choice for whatever reason. And then when, as I got older, I realized that there's no reason why I can't do that for a living. And I figured why not just go refine my skills and, get a formal education, I guess, in the culinary industry and have someone show me the baseline of what it takes to be a professional, because, you know, my skills before were really more passion driven and not really about technique and skills. So it really helped me refine my skills and give me a lot of tools and introduce me to a lot of people that have influenced me and how I run my business now and how I approach my dishes and how I approach my prep and prep everything.
You could tell just by like hanging out with you and seeing how you have everything set up that you've gone to culinary school or that you at least have that background, because it's just, it's very deliberate what you've done. And also your, the way you plate your dishes. Would you recommend that culinary school background?
Honestly, no. I think it really depends on the person. You know, there was people in my culinary school that are probably not in the industry today. And there are people that never went to culinary school that are doing incredible things in the industry. So I think it really comes down to the individual. And to be completely honest, you know, you learn a lot of baseline skills in culinary school. And I'm, you know, I owe a lot of my education, my where I'm at today to that. But a lot of it was learned afterwards, working in kitchens, working in fine dining, working in catering, working in comfort food. Those are the people I've really drawn the most from, people who I've considered mentors. That's where I really learned the most, I think, is the working in the field afterwards, is the hands-on experience. I think like any industry, you can read books and learn and do things in a controlled environment, but once you're thrown into the fire, no pun intended, that's kind of how...
The answer you've given is the answer that I would expect most people to say, but I was just curious because you did a lot of stuff that looks... You have some fine dining influences in what you're doing, so it's just... And like using the microgreens and things, that's kind of something that I could see maybe came from either culinary school, but probably from the restaurants that you worked at.
Yeah, definitely. You know, after culinary school, I promised myself I would never wear a chef's coat and a hat again. I prefer the casual t-shirt, backwards hat environment. But I still don't think there's a reason that casual environments can't produce refined, a little bit more refined, fancier, if you will, nicer looking dishes. So definitely some influence. My first job out of culinary school was at a place called Hachijuhachi in Saratoga in the San Jose area. A Michelin recommended spot. Someone, Chef Jin Suzuki, who I can consider a mentor still. Most of my, I guess my plating skills, my techniques in terms of things of knife skills and making sure things are properly washed and clean come from my Japanese education from him. Although it was fairly brief. Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, working and seeing things, seeing people who have done things for years and years. That's where I get a lot of my influence from. And to this day, I talk to him regularly. He's a mentor to me. And that style of cooking, obviously, I'm not doing Japanese food, but there are certain techniques, certain practices that he implements in his kitchen that I have definitely taken and tried to implement in my makeshift parking lot kitchen whenever I can.
Well, that'll eventually get to us at the very end, is a potential brick and mortar if that's ever down the way. And I'm sure that you have in your mind, even if that was to come, how you would set up your kitchen, how you would set up your walk, and how you would set everything up.
Right. Absolutely.
From the restaurant not working out, where did you go from there?
You know, I was up in San Francisco for a little over a year. Probably about 11 months into my stay up there, we ran into some issues with the building. You know, to keep a long story short, it would have probably cost us another handful of hundreds of thousands of dollars and another maybe year of work to just get the restaurant built after dealing with the landlords, and the brick in the building wasn't properly reinforced. It was kind of a nightmare. So we decided to just kind of shut the whole thing down. So I was kind of left with a decision to make. And I'd still had some time on my lease up there. So I got a job as a cook at this place called Catheads in the Mission District in San Francisco. They're like a more like a Southern soul food kind of spot.
Huh.
They do smoked meats. It's a little bit different style. Their influence is not necessarily Texas style. And I worked there for maybe 6-7 months, ended up being a sous chef there and, you know, definitely learning some more about catering and, how to run a larger, more barbecue style operation versus something that's more fine dining and technique driven. It's more about, just how to run a restaurant altogether. I learned a lot from them. And then, you know, after that, I always knew I wanted to do my own thing. And it was really just a matter of timing. And my lease was up and I was just ready to kind of do my own thing. So I called Eric at Fat Stack Smokers out in Sun Valley, which, you know, a lot of guys in Southern California and actually all over the world now are using his pits. I gave him a call having never really cooked on an offset smoker. I was doing maybe one or two briskets a month on my Green Egg in San Francisco for a couple of friends every now and then, but nothing like, you know, nothing ever and even close to an offset smoker with, you know, burning real logs. And it was a totally different experience for me, but I kind of on a whim just called him up and ordered this smoker, a 120 gallon offset smoker, which would have been ready in January, and I was leaving in November. So I got back in December of 2018, and in January 19 I had this smoker in my backyard and I started playing around with it and just doing one brisket and then two briskets, and each time learning and started this Instagram page, and Flat Point Barbecue was born. And I just started basically, it was mostly, you know, it still is a lot of friends and family, but in the beginning it was just, you know, friends and friends of friends. They were like, man, I want to try this brisket. Let me get a couple pounds of brisket this weekend. And it turned into like an every Saturday thing. And then people were like hitting me up to do parties and they're, you know, catering events. And it just kind of slowly, and actually not so slowly, progressed into what it is now, which is still kind of the same thing, just on a much larger scale. So a full blown pop up, and we also still do catering.
When did you get the second pit? Was that recent?
Right. Skip that part. Well, the first pit, I actually ordered both at the same time, but there was a wait list. So Eric's like, look, I can get this. I don't think he'd ever really built a direct flow 120 gallon before. And he was like, I can do this one on the weekends. I'll work for you on the weekends and just get it ready for you in a month. And then the big pit will probably take another 3-4 months. So for the first 3 months of Flat Point, I was really just doing cooks on the 120, which is like 6 briskets at the most, but that was only if you do brisket. So, you know, I've gotten really good at playing Tetris at this point, just moving things around, making everything fit on that pit. But I think at the most I was doing like 4 briskets and 9 slabs of ribs and 2 butts and a bunch of sausages on there. And it was end up, you know, I would end up feeding like 20 to 30 people every weekend. I would have to do pre-orders just so I could gauge exactly how much I needed to make. I couldn't just kind of open shop. And then the bigger pit came in March. And I had him mount the smaller pit on the bigger pit. So they're basically this, if you see my trailer, it's kind of ridiculous looking. It's a 500 gallon offset with this little tiny, which is actually not so tiny, 120 gallon offset side by side.
For the YouTube version, I'll show a photo of that for people.
Okay,
for
you. Cool.
Yeah, because it's really cool looking. It's interesting. It's intriguing. I've never seen
that. Yeah, it's definitely a unique looking pit. So you got the tiny guy and the big boy on the side. But nowadays, I'm actually doing everything on the 500. And, you know, actually, most times I'm running both pits. I usually use the smaller guy for ribs and sausage and smaller cuts. And then the 500 I use for, you know, butts and lamb and mostly briskets.
So when did you start? I'm trying to think of when did you start popping up on Saturdays?
So, you know, the first year was really kind of scrambled because I wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to go in, if I wanted to just do catering or if I wanted to just do pre-orders and keep it underground. You know, I guess my first legitimate pop-up was, believe it or not, was at Smorgasburg, which is not so small of a venue, if you're familiar with. Anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people on any given Sunday, they do a barbecue invite-only thing on Labor Day weekend and the following weekend. And I was lucky enough to get the invite. And we set up shop there. It was just an unbelievable experience. You had people, you know, because people who go to Smorgasburg are there to eat, and they're usually foodie types, and people who had known about me or people who had never seen us and were walking by or had heard about me, you know, through Smorgasburg promotion.
That's the first time I saw you.
Was that Yeah, see?
And people that watch us, listen to us, know Moose Craft Barbecue.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Andrew and Michelle had become good friends of mine, great people. They were very helpful to me, especially having my first pop-up be such a large one. They gave me a ton of advice. Andrew and I actually did our cooks together the night before, So I got a good, you know, talk with him for about 16 hours.
That's great.
And he gave me a lot of advice. And to this day, we actually prepare our food at the same kitchen. So we see each other all the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask when that started too.
Yeah, those guys are, that was one of my first time meeting Andrew and Michelle was during Smorgasburg Week, which is this past August. You know, they're, for the people in LA know, they're making fantastic barbecue. They're there every Sunday. Their line is wrapped around five other people's tents. It's incredible.
They have the longest line every weekend. Yes,
they have the longest line of everybody every Sunday consistently, which is so cool to see. But yeah, you know, I was lucky enough to go side by side, or not necessarily side by side, but at the same day as them on a Sunday, and it was great. And even still, my business was awesome that Sunday. I had a ton of people. I had a long line, which was really cool to me. It really just gave me a nice confidence boost that there's enough room in LA for all of us to exist. And for sure. You know, even a small guy like me, people are interested, and they're coming to find my food no matter where I'm at. If I'm in Hollywood or in Santa Monica or downtown, it's kind of a cult following, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And you know, back to your question, the Saturday pop-up started this year, 2020. So okay. That was my goal, was to have a regular space where people could find me. So if you're visiting, if you've seen our Instagram and you're not from LA, at least you can plan your weekend around coming and seeing us on a Saturday.
And it's a great location with lots of parking.
Right. Yeah. There's, it's right on Main Street. It's like in the Santa Monica Venice border, a lot of foot traffic, people coming from the beach, people going to the beach. And it's a great spot. I actually, you know, I grew up in LA, so I knew of this parking lot. There's not many lots on the street. And I walked into the store one day and asked the owner if he'd ever let anybody pop up here. And he'd never done it before, but he's like, he was a little hesitant on it. And we kind of went back and forth for a bit. And he ended up just saying, like, all right, man, you can rent the space for me for the day. Just, you know, make sure you're respectful. And that was, in December. And now we're there every Saturday, and they love it. It's great. It brings them business. The people who before it was a lot of friends and family of mine and people who hadn't seen me from Smorgasburg on Instagram. Now I'm getting a lot of people who live in the apartment buildings nearby, people who walk by.
Oh, that's cool.
Definitely, yeah, exposing me to a whole new audience, which is really great, which was a big part of the reason why I wanted to have a regular pop-up.
And now I think we should discuss the menu, because the menu is unique. It's of course, it's Central Texas style, but it's with your twist. So what's the staple for the protein?
Obviously brisket, spare ribs, pork spare ribs, pulled pork. We do turkey. We do, the staples have become, the specials have kind of made their way into becoming staples. So now we have like pulled lamb shoulder has become a staple because people love it. We do obviously, you know, monster Texas beef ribs. We'll do pastrami beef ribs every now and then. But you know, our staples are the Texas barbecue staples. You got ribs, pulled pork, brisket, turkey. Those are the main ones. And then what I, you know, always loved was a good sandwich. And to me, that's, I think, what makes us stand out the most is our unique sandwich menu. We got about 6 or 7 sandwiches on the menu with a special at any given day. That's kind of where the refinement comes in. So we're obviously, our sandwiches are using our smoked meats. So we got like a spicy Caroline sandwich, which is pulled pork with our homemade mustard sauce, but it's got fresh cilantro and jalapeno on there. So it's kind of got like this weird Southeast Asian Mexican flair to it, but it just works and it's great. People love that. The flat point special, which was the first sandwich I ever did when I was doing backyard pop-ups, which is just a smoked brisket on a brioche with a roasted garlic aioli, homemade dill pickles. All of our pickles are made fresh. We have crispy shallots on there as well. Thank you. Yeah. And then, you know, we got some weird ones. Like I'll do like a smoked lamb pita, which is crazy. I'll smoke some eggplant, make a baba ganoush with that. I'll make homemade harissa. We do like tzatziki on there with cilantro and fresh mint, fresh cucumber and some dill and a little bit of lemon. So, you know, a lot of it is, I really wanted to stay true to Texas barbecue in terms of the way I smoke and the approach and the rubs and the meats I use. But the derivatives, the things that have evolved from those smoked meats, like the sandwiches and the specials, I think that getting kind of wild with those is what keeps me interested and keeps me going. I love doing the weird sandwiches and kind of pushing the boundaries with that.
Well, and also, too, you're doing scratch-made sausage.
Of course, yeah. Everything's from scratch. We don't, you know, I don't like to cut corners or anything. I think a lot of the guys who do barbecue understand that. There's really no way to speed up the process of smoking. So I don't think there's a reason to cut corners anywhere else. So everything's made from scratch. All of our sauces are made from scratch. All of our sausages, all of our pickles, Everything except for the buns, which we get from a local bakery, which are made fresh every morning. You know, everything's made from scratch. So that's really important to me, is to take the time to make things high quality. Although we're serving out of a parking lot, I want people to have a legitimately exciting culinary experience when they come see us.
The two sausages that you had, you have two at any given time, right?
Usually, you know, it's usually the one, which is our Serrano cheddar sausage, which is just like a lot of people do a jalapeno cheddar. So I do a Serrano cheddar. It's very
simple.
I've
dreamt about it since.
Sausage. It's definitely one of my favorite, probably one of the first things I ever made, actually. And the recipe hasn't changed at all. So it's been that since day one, but it's my go-to sausage. It's just a Serrano. There's a little bit of jalapeno in there, some garlic, salt and pepper, sharp cheddar, really simple, and a pork casing. And then I'll do some alternative sausage. I do like a hazy IPA sausage, which is kind of like a hot link. It's a cured sausage, so it has that nice red color to it. A little bit different flavor, a little sweet, got a nice kick at the end. I got a few that I'm working on right now that I haven't released yet. Okay. They're coming soon. Some stuff with wild boar, some stuff with some broccoli rabe, some weird stuff.
Oh, that's interesting. Like a nod to Philadelphia.
Yep, something like that.
Interesting.
They're coming very... Got to get them, all the kinks worked out.
That's cool. And then also, too, what about your, like, you have some fermented things, and you also have the mustard seed.
Pickled mustard seed. It's kind of like a poor man's caviar, if you will. It's actually a really simple recipe. You basically take just dried mustard seeds, you rehydrate them, and then brine them, just like you would a pickle. And I use those for a garnish for the pastrami beef rib. I think they go really well together. Visually, it looks really appealing. And it kind of pops in your mouth like caviar or fish eggs.
It's one of the cool. It's so unique to anything I've seen. I've never even seen that on pastrami beef rib ever.
It's a cool one. Yeah, I love that.
But it makes sense. It's like, you know, like a deli style. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
And then sides wise.
Sides all scratch made as well. Sides are one thing that I'm also working on adding a few more. But our staples right now is like a lemon and herb potato salad. Heavy on lemon zest, whole grain mustard in there with red potatoes, a few other things, some herbs, some fresh dill and chives. Do an apple slaw, which is just like a standard coleslaw, but it's got julienne Fuji apples in it. Our dressing has Greek yogurt in it, so it's a little bit lighter, a little bit tangier, nice and sweet and nice and vinegary as well. That's one of our more popular sides, the slaw for sure. We do like a barbecue baked beans on the sweeter side with some caramelized onions in there as well. And if I do have some scrap meats, I'll actually do a pulled pork or brisket baked beans, depending on the week. Usually they're vegetarian. And then we do our house-made dill pickles as well.
It's all so, so good. And like in most people's mind, you just popped out of nowhere. Like that's kind of, and maybe it's just because people just didn't know about you, but you've come a long way to get to where you are. But now are you enjoying it?
I love it. All of it, everything, even the long days, the long nights, it's great. The whole process is amazing. The fact that people are now learning our name and it's getting busier every weekend. People are spreading the word, telling their friends, bringing their family. It's couldn't ask for anything more, man. It's unbelievable. I actually can't believe how far it's come in such a short amount of time. It seems like yesterday I was just doing a brisket out of my backyard, and now it's become a full kitchen every weekend, and it's unbelievable.
Well, it's really deserved. The food's so good. And what time you guys, you open at 10, right?
We open at 11 o'clock.
I got there.
we get there at about 9:30 to set everything up. It's about an hour and a half. But 11 o'clock, we're open, ready to go. And we sell out around 3:30 or 4 o'clock every Saturday.
So if you come around 1 or 2, you can still get food.
Generally.
So far.
We should have most things. You know, I always tell people to get there earlier. But if you show up around 12:30, 1 o'clock, we'll probably have everything on the menu.
What's the future for you?
There's a lot of leaps to take between now and a brick and mortar. Obviously, would love to have my own restaurant one day. You know, LA is an unbelievable food scene. There's people from all different types of backgrounds, all different culinary backgrounds, doing incredible things here. And it's a very young food scene compared to the rest of the country. Feel like the barbecue market, especially, there's not many of us. There's really only a handful of guys doing it. And in terms of brick and mortar, there's really like, you can count on one hand how many there are.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Big thing for me is I really love the product on an offset smoker, what you can create with these offset smokers. I haven't really seen on anything else. And I know there's an issue right now in LA with the health department, and they're sort of unfamiliar with these pits because they're just now popping up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they've never really seen them before. Whereas you go to Austin, you know, you got people in their have these offset smokers in their backyard.
Yeah, you see them as you drive around the countryside, yeah.
Right. Yeah, you don't see that as much in LA. So obviously I get a lot of crazy looks when people see my smoker in my driveway. They ask me what it is. And I guess that really extends through everybody in the health department world in LA. They're kind of figuring things out and finding ways for us to incorporate these smokers into a brick and mortar restaurant. Because right now it's kind of a gray area. You know, I'm definitely some ways away from doing a brick and mortar. I still want to do a lot more with the pop-up. I want to build the brand a bit more, get a lot more people familiar with Flat Point Barbecue before I go ahead and take that leap. But it's definitely in the back of my mind. It's on the timeline. Soon enough, I'd say in 1 to 2 years, maybe at the end of this year, we'll start looking.
Do you see yourself opening, maybe popping up one more day a week?
That's definitely another step in between then and now, is trying to do something, maybe 2 days on the weekend, a Saturday and Sunday thing, or maybe in the middle of the week. I'm actually working on some alternative pop-ups right now, maybe something with burgers, something with tacos, also still related to barbecue, but something that I could do in the middle of the week. But yeah, definitely would love to have a few more days where people could come and get our food.
Yeah, that would be nice, and potentially maybe even a different location, so that would kind of spreads out the knowledge of your brand and who you what you're doing.
It's a big city. Yeah, it's a big city, and there's a lot of opportunities here. So yeah, you know, I have the west side of LA right now. It's kind of, there's not really any other guys doing it out here, but that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, a lot of times for people who don't live in LA, it's the traffic is miserable. It takes a long time to get places for no reason. And if you could spread yourself across the city, it'll give people an opportunity to come try your food who maybe don't want to travel on the weekends or just don't know about you. So definitely would love to do things all over LA.
Yeah, pop up by someone's work and then they get to know you that way, because, you know, they might not. People might just go from work to home and not really venture anywhere else.
Definitely.
So you do catering too, right?
Yeah. In the middle of the week, we'll do like office caterings. We'll do private parties every now and then. It's really a matter of like first come, first serve. Right now, I'm only able to handle like one or two events in addition to the weekend pop-up, because it's really just kind of me right now. I have a few people that help me out. But yeah, the caterings in the middle of the week are something we do now almost regularly. So we'll do like a Wednesday or Thursday, we'll do an office catering or like a dinner party or something like that.
So what are the best ways to get a hold of you?
You can. Instagram is obviously the best way to contact me. You can send me a DM on there. I do all of my marketing and social media. So that's, if you're talking to someone on Flat Point Barbecue, you're talking to me. You can shoot me an email, info@flatpointbarbecue.com. And then you can check our website, flatpointbarbecue.com, for, we have our catering menu on there and our pop-up schedule, although it's every Saturday right now, pretty regular. But we do have an event calendar on there. Instagram, you can see all of our specials. We update our menus, things we're working on throughout the week, new pickles, new sides, all that stuff you can see on Instagram.
And also on Instagram in the morning before your pop-up, you take pictures of the menu generally.
Every morning, if not the day before, I'll take a picture of the menu. And usually that the week leading up to it, I'll post a picture of our special, which is this week it's going to be the pastrami mommy sandwich. A few other things that I'm not going to say now, but you'll see it on Instagram this week. And that's the best way to do it is follow our Instagram. We're trying to be really active on there.
Well, Danny, I'm so happy for you. And this is so cool. It's such a cool story. And it's going to be interesting to see like what this leads to and how crazy it gets, because I think that a lot of people don't know about you yet. So you're still like, this is the calm before the storm potentially.
I'm ready for it. I hope the name spreads and more people come. I love meeting new people. If you ever come to one of the pop-ups and you're into barbecue, you got some questions about barbecue, you want to shoot me a message, you know, I love hearing from people. I love talking to new people, hearing their stories, all of it, man. It's great.
Well, that's cool. We'll enjoy the rest of your evening.